speaker is Dr. Ingrid Mattson.
Assalamu alaikum. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي وجدني يتيما فآوى وجدني ضالا فهدى وجدني عائلا فأغنى. All praise be to Allah who found me an orphan and gave me shelter, and who found me misguided and wandering and guided me, and who found me impoverished and enriched me. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. This is, we were given this gigantic list of things that we should think about for this panel, and I'm just going to pick one topic. One of the emotions that was mentioned, one of the reactions, and that is guilt. Because I don't know about the rest of you, but I experienced this feeling of guilt last year. And I'm trying to understand it, and I spent some time trying to understand why I felt this way. And it's very important to spend enough time understanding yourself. If you don't understand yourself, if you don't understand your motivations, your perspective, the different things in your life, in your history, your own personality, that make you react to certain situations, then inevitably your reaction will be one that is not helpful to yourself or to other people. And after 9/11, when we saw the terrible violence, and I had this feeling, many feelings arise in me, fear and anger, and one of them was guilt. And I recalled a few years ago when I was at the Middle East Studies Association annual meeting at their film festival. And there was a film that was being screened there called Witness. Now, Witness is a documentary that was made by Israeli filmmakers, peace activists, of the implementation of Rabin's policy in Israel during the first Intifada of breaking bones. If any of you remember it, his policy was, don't shoot to kill, but you can break their bones. And I sat in that darkened room watching this documentary, and the most painful part was about a 10-minute long segment that showed three Israeli defense forces running after and catching a young Palestinian man. Maybe he was 20 years old. They grabbed him on a hillside and they pushed him to the ground, and they held his arm out over a rock that was sticking out of the hill, and with another rock they kept pounding and pounding and pounding on his arm until they broke it. It took about 10 minutes to actually complete their task. It was such a terrible indictment of the incredible violence that the Palestinian people have been living with for now 50 years. But at the end of that film, I not only felt that, I not only felt incredible anger at what had been done. I had this slight lingering feeling of guilt, and I was very confused about it. Why did I feel guilty? What did I have to do with it? And I went back and I was thinking for a long time, trying to dig into that feeling of guilt. And it's very clear I wasn't responsible for that action. Those people who did that are responsible. Yet, I had to look into myself. Have I done enough to speak out against that violence? Because if I'm silent, silence is an indication of consent. In any way, did any of my actions, my political allegiances, my relationship with my citizens have anything to do with this action? And I think it was a very healthy examination of my own conscience. And this is something that we need to do from time to time without ever saying there is, as some people like to say, a moral equivalence. Of course, I was not as guilty or guilty in the way of those people who did it. But I did have to examine myself and think, have I done everything that I can to stop that? And it also made me remember other acts of violence, because this was one act of violence and it's not the only one that is occurring in the world or has occurred in the world. I thought of a book I'd recently read by Roington Mistry called A Fine Balance, and he talks about in India children who are stolen when they're young, or poor children who are taken and they have their limbs purposely chopped off or deformed so that they can become beggars and gather money for the person who has chopped off their limbs. I thought of a Muslim sister I knew at that time who was the victim of domestic violence here in America, and her husband was a Muslim. And I thought of the prisons in this country and how especially the African Americans in this country have to endure violence after violence after violence that is being supervised and controlled and condoned. And this is the country that I live in. So any feeling that we may have had after seeing the terrible violence of September 11th, any feeling of guilt is something that you should grab onto, hold onto, examine, go deep in yourself, and try to understand where that comes from and what it implies for your life. Without saying that we are responsible, because we are not responsible for the actions of other people. And don't let anyone, when they're asking you to explain why people did this or how they could do this, put you in a situation where you feel that you are somehow responsible for their actions. You aren't. They did what they did. Yet, this is a world that is racked by violence, and we have to figure out how to make it a more peaceful world, whether it is between nations, among nations, in our prisons, in our societies, in our families. And that's why many people here have said that there's no justice without peace, but also there's no peace without justice, but also there really is no justice without peace. Because the person who isn't peaceful with their creator will not even know what justice is. They will only know their desires and their reactions. And so I want you to think a little bit about that, about our role and our responsibility. You know, when Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was the Khalifa, it's well known that he would roam the streets of Medina at night looking for those people who were in need, that he would hide his identity and secretly go around and try to see where are those people who are suffering, who are hungry, who need help. And he would cry when he discovered someone who was suffering, an old woman in need, hungry, crying from her hunger and her need. And he felt as Khalifa that he was responsible for making sure that her need was met. In a very small way, I kind of felt like that last night as I was sitting there in my room around 2 a.m. looking out at all of our young people, mashallah, interacting, and I almost wanted that afaya from Sayyidina Umar to go down with some of you. I thought, you know, this is an ISNA event. I am the vice president of ISNA. I have some responsibility for bringing you all here. And why are all those teenagers sitting in the lobby at 2 a.m, girls and boys, not always interacting in the most appropriate way? But I had no authority. I have the responsibility perhaps, but I didn't have the authority to do much more than say a few words. So that's why I feel that here I had a responsibility to say something about it. But in any case, my main point is that back to the idea of all of our responsibility for acts of violence and the incredible violence that is tearing our world apart now. And just, we don't have much time, so I want to conclude and say that I was reading an article a few months ago where someone was talking about terrorism, and they were speaking about the roots of terrorism and how we have to eradicate the roots of terrorism, and how he had learned from his grandfather, who was a gardener, that if you really want to get rid of the weeds, you have to get the weed killer and put it all in the garden and kill all those weeds and get down to those roots, and that's the way you're going to eradicate those weeds. Well, I guess this writer hasn't heard about organic farming, because, you know, one of the things that we learned after all these biochemicals were invented is that if you go and you spread a garden or a farm or a field with all of these toxic chemicals to kill the weeds at the roots, you are also going to deform the plants, contaminate the good, healthy plants, and contaminate the soil for years to come, so that anything else that grows in it will also be contaminated with this terrible toxic poison. So our approach to stopping violence and conflict has to be one that preserves all of us. This is something that we need to remember in our communities, and we need to remember in the United States of America, that we do not want to poison the soil of this country in a way that will totally change the nature of this country and make, for generations to come, deformed people because they're growing in this poisoned soil. But that doesn't stop us from our responsibility. Organic farming is much more labor intensive. It requires you to go in there and pull out the weeds with your hands. And sometimes it requires some creativity about changing the nature of the soil. If you change the nature of the soil with the right compost and add some lime or some calcium, some potassium, that those weeds won't be able to grow there anymore, only the healthy plants. So my advice to myself and to you, when I think about my role in in trying to do what I can to make our societies healthier, our Muslim societies and our American society healthier, is to think about the hard work, the labor-intensive tasks that I need to do of building peace. And that will start, of course, with myself. I have to have peace within myself, first with my Creator, within myself, my family, and that is where it will spread. And we will be building a just society in that way, through peace. There's no justice without peace, but there's no peace without justice. You've heard these things, but I really want to remind you to say that there isn't any justice without peace. So look into yourselves, and I look into myself, and inshallah, we can all do that hard work together, because it's no longer about just spraying a big harsh chemical on our garden. It's about all of us going in and working together and making a healthier environment. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Takbir. Jazakallah khair, barakallah fi, Dr. Ingrid Madsen. Our next speaker is Imam Siraj.